I want to take as my text this evening the words of verse 13. It's really the second part of verse 13, where we read, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Particularly focusing on those words, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin." These are the words of a merciful and a gracious God through the prophet Nathan to King David, who had sinned against the Lord. The story of David is one of triumph and tragedy. His triumph is seen in no better place than his defeat of the Philistine giant Goliath. David was the shepherd boy who by faith slew the giant, delivered Israel when Saul and his armies cowered with fear in their tents. That boy of whom the women sang hymns of victory, David has slain his 10,000s. That shepherd boy would go on to become king, king of Israel after the death of Saul. And he would lead Israel to a period of supremacy, a period of victory, and a period of glory for that nation and that people. But then tragedy struck. As a mature man, David, with the kingdom secured, sent his armies to war under his great military commander and leader, Joab. But chapter 11, verse 1 tells us that David stayed at home. He was idle. His idleness led to lust. In chapter 11, we read about his lust. "For as he walked upon the palace roof one evening, he saw down below in one of the gardens or one of the homes, he witnessed a beautiful woman washing herself, and his heart lusted after her. As the king, he sent a messenger and brought this woman, Bathsheba, to the royal court. There he committed adultery with her. She was the wife of one of his faithful soldiers and mighty men, Uriah by name. And he defiled himself, defiled Bathsheba, sinned before the Lord, and committed adultery." Chapter 11 also goes on to record his murder. "For Bathsheba found she was with child, and her husband being away in the battlefield, the sin would be exposed. And so she sent to David, and David put a cunning plan into place. He brought Uriah home from battle. He asked him how the battle was going. He led on that he wanted information from Uriah, and he could trust Uriah to give him an honest opinion of how Joab was doing in the battle. And when he gleaned the information of Uriah, he said, 'Go and spend the night with your wife before you go back to battle.'" Oh, how deceitful the human heart is. The heart of man is deceitfully and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Uriah was too faithful. He said, "Why should I enjoy the company of my wife? And the armies of Israel are on the battlefield." And he refused to go. And so David had an order written for Joab. And he signed it and he sealed it and he gave it into Uriah's hand. And Uriah took that order to Joab, not knowing what it was. And when Joab read it, it said in the orders of the king that he was to put Uriah into the hottest part of the battle. And he was to withdraw the troops and ensure that Uriah would die in the battle. The Lord holds him accountable and is guilty for Uriah's death. Verse 9 of our reading says, "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword." Oh, we read of his lust. We read of his murder. We read of his concealment and deceit, because Uriah being dead, he took Bathsheba to be one of his wives. He played the hero, this widow woman. He would take her into his home. He would be a husband to her. He would provide for her. And when the news came out of the royal court that Bathsheba was with child, the people would think all was well and all was normal. The mighty had fallen. The man of God had sinned grievously. He was guilty before God of heinous sins. But while he covered his sin from the majority of men, he couldn't hide his sin from God. It was Peter who said to Jesus, "Thou knowest all things." It was Paul who wrote, "All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do." You can't hide anything from God. Adam and Eve learned that early in man's history. When they eat the forbidden fruit, they were naked and they knew it, and they tried to cover their shame with fig leaves. And when the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they ran and hid in the bushes in the undergrowth of Eden. But the Lord said, "Adam, where art thou?" And he had to step forward and give account for his sin. The Lord knew that he had sinned. And just with like Adam, so it was with David. The Lord knew that David had sinned. He couldn't hide his sin from God. And listen, you can hide your sin from your parents. You can hide your sin from your minister or your friends or your husband or your wife or whatever. You can hide your sin from man. You can't hide your sin from God. He knows it all. God sent Nathan the prophet. Verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan. He was a God-sent man. There's another little study in Scripture. God sent man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There's another one. Here's Nathan, and he's a God-sent man. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. It wasn't a nice message. It wasn't an encouraging message. I'm sure that Nathan wondered and maybe even worried, how will David receive the message I'm about to give? But God told Nathan all about David's sin and sent him to face David up with his sin. Nathan came into the presence of the king and he told David the story of two men. One was rich, one was poor. They both lived in the same city. One had flocks and herds without number. The poor man just had one ewe lamb. Purchased it as a little lamb and nourished it and fed it at his own table. Drank the milk from his own cup. No doubt the children played with that little lamb. They loved and cherished that little lamb. It was the family pet. When a wayfaring man came through the city, for some reason, maybe the poor man was indebted in some way to the rich man. But the rich man, rather than taking one of his own lambs to dress and to feed the wayfaring man, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and he slew it and he killed it, and he dressed it, and he fed the wayfaring man with it. When David heard the story that Nathan told, he was angry. He could see the sin in others. He could see the wrongdoing in others. And he said, "The man, he shall restore the lamb." In fact, he said, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and before he dies, he'll restore the lamb fourfold." And at that point, Nathan lifted his finger and pointed it to David. He said, "Thou art the man. You're the man who has sinned. The Lord has given you so much. He gave you the kingdom and all that was therein. And if it had been too little for you, he would have given you more." Uriah was just a soldier in your army. You took Uriah's wife. You're the man. David could see the sin in others, but he couldn't see the sin in himself. And he was prepared to punish the sin in others, but overlook the sin in himself. How many times, and let's just deal with that principle, how many times are God's children just like David? Mightn't commit adultery with another man's wife. They mightn't slay another man. But I'm saying, like David, they can see the sin in others. They can see the failings in others. And they'd punish, and they'd want to punish to the full extent of the law, the sins in others, while they'd let their own sins go and overlook them. How the mighty had fallen. And yet, to David's credit, when his sin was pointed out, he didn't try and justify it. He didn't try and explain it away. He hung his head in shame. Hung his head in shame, and he said, I have sinned. Verse 13. I have sinned against the Lord. It was then the prophet Nathan responded, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Doesn't that give hope? Doesn't that reveal the character and the nature of God, who is a pardoning God like thee, or who is grace so rich and free? And if God was willing to put away, to forgive, to pardon David's sin, the sin of adultery, the sin of lust, the sin of murder, the sin of concealment and covering up his sin, if God was willing to put it away and forgive it, I tell you, he can forgive and put away your sin. There's hope. The hymn writer said, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment a pardon from Jesus receives. My friend, there's hope for you. Whatever your sin is, the Lord put it away. And that's the theme tonight. The time we have remaining. David's sin forgiven. Or sin put away. I want you to notice a couple of things about this. I want you to see and understand the basis of forgiveness is the work of Christ. On what basis or on what ground does God put away or forgive sin? It's the work of Christ. If you turn over to Psalm 51, Psalm 51 should be read in conjunction with 2 Samuel chapter 12. Just look at the title. Look at the title of Psalm 51. To the chief musician. So this is a psalm of David to the chief musician, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. This psalm was penned at the time, or after the time, when Nathan confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba. And in this psalm, David not only acknowledges his sin, but he requests that his sin might be forgiven. And I want you to notice a phrase that he uses on a number of occasions. You'll see it there in verse 1, at the end of verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. And then he says this, blot out my transgressions. He uses that phrase again further down the psalm. I just can't set my eye on it at the minute, but it's used again, speaking about David's desire for his sin, that it might be blotted out. Now, if something is blotted out, it is no longer there. Think about the stained clothing. The nice clothing that you have, and you're out and about, and you're doing your business, and you slip and you fall into the dirt, and there's a big stain. Maybe it's a green stain from the grass. Maybe it's a brown stain from the mud. And the stains on the garment, the piece of clothing, You want that stain to be blotted out. And that's the idea that David has in mind, because he's talking about a washing in verse 2. It's a washing away so that the stain, it's removed, it's blotted out. It's no longer there. My friends, our sin is a stain before God. It's an offense to God. And it needs to be blotted out or put away. And yet the truth and message of the gospel is this, that our sins can be blotted out or put away before God so that they are no longer there. When the stain is washed away, the detergent is added, the water is applied, it is blotted out, it is taken away, that you put on that garment again after it is dried and smooth, that it is no longer visible to the human eye. It's gone. That's what the Lord is able to do for our sins. They leave the crimson stain. They leave the mark. And they're a blot against us. The Lord can put them away so that they are no longer there in God's sight to condemn us. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 38 and 17. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And the picture is given that as our sins are no longer before the view of the Lord. They're behind His back. And it's an expression of speech. Why the Lord knows all things and sees all things. Yet He's showing us what God does for our sins. They're put behind Him so that they're no longer before Him to view to condemn us. Micah in chapter 7, verse 18 and 19 of his prophecy. Speaking in verse 18 of forgiveness, he goes on in verse 19 to say, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. They're into the depths of the sea where they're away. They're blotted out. They're put away. They're gone. And what is the basis upon which God put away David's sin? Well, if you're still in Psalm 51, just look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I draw your attention to the hyssop. The hyssop, and all Israel would know the use of the hyssop in the Passover. The Passover night when God said to Israel, a death angel will come through the land of Egypt. And the firstborn of every household, the male firstborn of every household will die in judgment for Egypt's sin. But when I see the blood upon the doorposts, I will pass over you. And the homes on which the blood was sprinkled, the judgment of death, the consequence of sin passed by, and they were spared. The Israelite was to take the lamb and separate it from the flock. They were to slay the lamb and take the blood, and they were to dip the blood in hyssop. Or rather, dip the hyssop in the blood. And they were to take the hyssop and sprinkle it upon the doorposts. And when the Lord saw the blood upon the doorposts, they were saved from judgment. And I believe when David said, purge me with hyssop, he was thinking of that sprinkling and that cleansing, not of the home, but of the soul. For Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, slain upon the cross for sinners. And when His blood is applied to our hearts, our sin is blotted out, it's put away. How true are the words of the hymn, only the precious blood of Jesus has the power to wash sin away. The only basis upon which any sin It might be a small sin in your eyes. It's an offense to God. It might be a great sin in the eyes of the world, as David's sin was. But the only thing that can blot your sin out, or the only means by which it can be put away, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that blood that you need to wash and cleanse your soul by faith, if your sin is to be put away before God. The basis of forgiveness is the work of Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly, that the bestowal of forgiveness is upon confession of sin. Look back again at 2 Samuel chapter 12. Look at the text, verse 13. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned. That's his confession. It's an interesting phrase. I have sinned. It's interesting, if you trace it through the scriptures, there were at least 8 men who uttered those words in scripture. You'll find them at least 8 times uttered by different men in scripture. And it's a confession. I have sinned. Do you know the tragedy? 5 of the men who uttered those words in scripture, I have sinned, were not sincere. Pharaoh in Exodus 9 and 27, after the plague of heal, he called Moses in and he said, I and my people have sinned. And he never meant a word of it. All he wanted was for the judgment of the heel and the plagues to be taken away. But he hadn't really felt the weight and load of his sin as offensive to the God of heaven. And it was just a sham. Balaam uttered those words in Numbers 22, verse 34, to the angel. The old ass spoke to him, and he was going to slay the ass, and the angel appeared with a sword, and he was going to slay Balaam. Balaam said, I have sinned. And yet, knowing he was a sinner and uttering those words, it was insincere. For he died among the enemies of God, and he went to hell as a false prophet. Achan, in Joshua 7, verse 20, when he was caught with a Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold and the shackles of silver, and he's about to be stoned to death, he said, I have sinned. But he only said it because he was caught. He didn't really mean it. When Samuel went to Saul and asked him why he had disobeyed the word of the Lord in 1 Samuel 15 and 24, when he spared the Amalekites and God had told him to slay them, he said, I have sinned. But he didn't really mean it. He went back to his old ways. He went back to persecuting David, living disobediently to the Lord. Matthew 27 and verse 4, just before Judas took his own life, he said to the Sanhedrin, he went and he took the money back and he said, I have sinned and betrayed innocent blood. He recognized his wrongdoing, but he didn't repent. He went out and took his own life and he died and went to hell. And Jesus said, it had been better if that man had never been born. There you have 5 times when those words are used, and those men never meant it at all as a confession before God. They didn't feel the weight of their sin. They didn't recognize it as loathsome before God. In some cases, they didn't want the punishment, but they didn't want to repent and live for God. In other cases, it was merely a recognition of sin, but there was no repentance that accompanied it. That's not the confession God is looking for. And it's not the confession David gave. You see, there were three other men who uttered these words, and they all meant them. David said, I have sinned. And you read Psalm 51, and he felt the burden of his sin, and he felt broken over his sin, and there was a turning from his sin. In Job 7 and verse 20, Job said, I have sinned. And in Luke 15, verse 21, the prodigal, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned before heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants. I become a servant, meet my needs. I've left the far country. I've abandoned the pigsty and the ungodly company and the ungodly living with the harlots and all the rest. I just want to be a servant and I live for you. I've sinned. There's the key to what makes this confession genuine. It was accompanied with a turning from sin. It was accompanied with sorrow from sin. It was accompanied by a casting oneself upon the Lord. In David's case and in the prodigal's case, it was true confession because they turned from their sin. They cast themselves upon the Lord and they were willing to do what the Lord would want them and have them to do, and a seeking of mercy. And I want to tell you, that's the confession the Lord is looking for. And the Bible teaches us that forgiveness, a putting away of our sin, when the Lord's going to do it, either in salvation or restoration of the backslider, the individual comes to the place where they will make a sincere and earnest confession, not to their priest, not to their minister, not to their family members or their colleagues or whatever it may be, but they'll make that confession unto God. Proverbs 28 and 13, whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it. You notice that little bit, you confess and forsake. That's what makes the confession genuine. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. 1 John 1 and 7, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you sincerely confessed your sin to God? Is your sin put away and are you forgiven? The basis of forgiveness is the work of Christ. The bestowal of forgiveness is upon confession of sin. Thirdly and finally and very quickly, the blessing of forgiveness is peace. It's a blessing to be forgiven. Nathan said unto him, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. That was God's mercy. David said the rich man should die for his sin, and under the law he should have died, and David should have died. There's an old hymn and it says, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and mercy is a withholding from us that which we deserve. Grace is bestowing upon us that which we don't deserve. There's mercy with the Lord. And when David should have died for his sin, his life was spared. That's mercy. And there was blessing for him. You see, although David had to live with the consequences of sin, and sometimes there are consequences and chastisements that while our sin is forgiven, the Lord chastens us for our sin, and we have to live with the consequences of our sin. And David found himself in that position. The Lord would raise up one from his own house who would oppose David. That was Absalom. He said, the sword will not depart from your house, and there was trouble in his home. He said, the child shall die. What a tragic scene that is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. But though David was chastened for his sin and had to live with the consequences of his sin, yet he goes on to express in Psalm 51, verses 8 and verse 12, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David came to the place where he experienced, after the burden and the brokenness that sin brought him, came to the place where he enjoyed the blessing of sins forgiven peace with God and joy in the Lord again. The Lord can do that for both the sinner and the backslider. Maybe you've been listening tonight and you've never been saved. Sin has made a mess of your life. And it's absolutely ruining your life. And you're like David, you're in an absolute mess because of sin. The Lord can put away your sin. And He can forgive it on the basis of the blood of Christ. And He can give you joy, a purpose, happiness, and peace if you'll but confess your sin to Him. Maybe you're a backslider. You once walked well with the Lord. You've got into a web of deceit, lies, and sin. What the Lord did for David, He can do for you. He can put away your sin and give you joy again in the things of God. May you experience it for the blessing of your own soul and the glory of God.